This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. On Tuesday, VOA told you about an American soldier who crossed the inter-Korean border into North Korea. VOA Cindy Sain explores why he would do so.
The facts are not yet clear in this case, but there is a history of American soldiers defecting to North Korea, said Gene Lee, a podcaster and self-described North Korea watcher.
There were four U.S. soldiers in the course of history who crossed over, defected to North Korea in the late 60s and early 70s. And these are American soldiers who were disgruntled for whatever reason with their time in serving in the military in South Korea and decided it would be better to cross the border and just go into North Korea instead of going home.
The State Department said Defense Department officials have been in touch with officials from North Korea to resolve the situation. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Meanwhile, in a possible show of defiance, North Korea fired two short-range missiles into the sea as the U.S. docks a nuclear submarine in South Korea. AP's Lisa Dwyer.
South Korea says the missiles flew about 341 miles before landing in waters east of the Korean Peninsula. That range roughly matches the distance between Pyongyang and the South Korean port city of Busan, where the USS Kentucky recently arrived in the first visit by a U.S. nuclear-armed submarine to South Korea since the 1980s. Japan says the missile traveled on a low trajectory and possibly demonstrated irregular maneuver in flight. Japan has previously used similar language to describe the flight characteristics of a North Korean weapon modeled after a Russian missile, which travels at low altitudes and is designed to be maneuverable in flight to improve its chances of evading missile defenses. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
More at VOAnews.com. This is VOA News. U.S. President Joe Biden holds a White House meeting with Israel's moderate ceremonial leader, President Isaac Herzog, where the two covered a range of issues, including Russia's increased ties with Iran. VOA's Anita Powell reports from the White House.
This is Israeli President Isaac Herzog's second White House visit in under a year. All the more striking considering that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has yet to grace Biden's Oval Office. On Tuesday, the two presidents covered the bases of what Biden described as their simply unbreakable bond.
And as I affirmed to Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, America's commitment to Israel is firm, and it is ironclad. And we're committed as well to ensure that that Iran never acquires a nuclear weapon. So we got a lot to talk about.
Herzog also addressed Biden's concerns over Netanyahu's plan to overhaul the country's judiciary. Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
On Wednesday, Herzog speaks to Congress in an appearance aimed at demonstrating what he calls the unbreakable bond between Israel and the U.S. South Africa's president says that arresting Russian President Vladimir Putin should he show up at an economic summit next month in Johannesburg would amount to a declaration of war by his country. The August summit is bringing together Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Should Putin attend the gathering, he could become the subject of an arrest warrant by the International Criminal Court related to alleged war crimes during Russia's invasion of Ukraine. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa says in an affidavit made public Tuesday that such an action against Putin could also derail any efforts to end the war in Ukraine. Authorities have a break in the 1996 murder of rapper Tupac Shakur. AP Entertainment correspondent Margie Zaraletta.
The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department confirms a search warrant was executed in the nearby city of Henderson in connection with the death of Tupac Shakur nearly 30 years ago. The department says it's an open investigation and would not give details. On September 7, 1996, Shakur was riding in a vehicle that stopped at a traffic light in Las Vegas. Shakur was shot multiple times from another vehicle. He died a week later at the age of 25. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis held a brief news conference Tuesday as part of a shift in strategy for his presidential campaign, but Governor took only a few four questions, almost all of which centered on the party's frontrunner, Donald Trump. DeSantis' attempt to change the conversation came while campaigning in South Carolina and underscored the challenges he faces trying to overtake the former president and his command of the spotlight in the GOP presidential race. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.